is Small Town News. I'm Keith.
I'm Neil.
I'm George.
And I'm Craig.
And what we do each session is reread small town newspaper articles from small town newspapers somewhere across the United States. We are reading these articles for the first time. They are provided to us by the wonderfully talented but the woefully underpaid Dr. Saxon.
Oh, yeah.
From those articles, we might take a character, a situation, maybe just a singular word, and we're going to improvise stories around it. We're just trying to make big stories out of small town news. Where are we today, George?
We are about to get to that, but first there is a picture from Dr. Jess that I'm trying to zoom in and figure out what
it is. All right, that's it. I am changing the way I do the opening from here on out.
All right, what are we doing?
Pratt, Kansas.
What's the picture?
Just ask me. Go.
Hey.
Just quit asking George. See, that's where you're falling down.
That's valid.
Dr. Jess sends us the picture for a reason.
She does, but we can say, oh, we're in Pratt, Kansas. What's the picture?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't ever go to the article before I look at the picture.
This is a verbal form of entertainment. And the first thing we keep doing is talking for like 30 seconds on a picture that no one has context for. If the listeners are lucky.
Pratt, Kansas.
All right, let's talk
about visual things now.
Okay, so there's a picture of a picture.
Okay. Clearing it up for the listeners. All right, George, now, keep it up.
A picture's worth 1,000 words, so we have to go to 2,000 words to describe the picture within a picture. But it's also a painter, and painters take more words to describe than the pictures of the pictures.
Okay, it's a picture of a lady painting a portrait upside down.
What, is it a portrait upside down?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it looks like it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's a very good guess.
Yeah. I have seen maybe this person, but people who do this before, it's like a speed painting, and they'll paint a portrait upside down so you can't really make out what it is.
Oh. Yeah.
And
then all of a sudden you're amazed. Contest-y.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And so they're contesty ones too. They're people that do it to music and all sorts of weird stuff.
I was about
stuff.
To say, it looks like she's on a stage or in some performance venue. So she's probably being watched. It's a...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really impressive to see.
She's also dressed well.
She's got long red hair. She's in a black, I think, pantsuit. Right.
With heels.
But it looks like it's made of velvet. It's a black velvet pantsuit.
It so smells like velvet for the listeners.
Yes.
Home to 6,600 residents, Pratt is the seat of Pratt County and is located in southern Kansas. Wichita, Kansas is 80 miles to the east and Oklahoma City is 215 miles to the south. Founded in 1884, the town and county of Pratt were named in honor of Caleb S. Pratt, a Union soldier killed in the Civil War and a leading abolitionist. Pratt's name with a double T is a homophone of Pratt with a single T. Starting in the 1560s, Pratt was a British slang word for butt.
Matt.
The term morphed in the 1930s American vaudeville circles to become a pratfall.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That is a form of comedy that involves people falling on their butts. 30 years later, a prat became a term for a contemptible person or basically a stupid asshole. Something that Caleb S. Pratt thankfully never was.
Pratt is the home of the annual Miss Kansas Beauty Pageant. The pageant was established in 1924. The winner of the Miss Kansas pageant competes for the Miss America title, and so far, three Miss Kansas winners have been crowned Miss America. Beauty pageants dated back to medieval Europe and were traditionally part of May Day festivals. P.T. Barnum, best known for his circus work, held the first modern American beauty pageant in 1854. But his contest was closed down after public protest, although I could not find out exactly what the protest was about. PT got around the protest problem by moving his in-person contest to newspapers. Contestants submitted...
daguerreotypes.
What does that mean, though?
It's an early form of photography.
Oh. Submitted daguerreotypes.
That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I knew you had to study that crap,
like
too.
Printed on metal.
Yeah,
I was about to say, why did you ask me for confirmation?
Wait, like tintypes? That's what that is? Like,
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so they submitted daguerreotypes of themselves for judging. Swimsuit competitions have been part of beauty pageants since the 1880s, and while they have been controversial from the start, the introduction of the bikini in the 1940s heightened the controversy.
Yeah.
Recent beauty pageants have attempted to shift the focus from physical appearance to include, quote, inner beauty, with criteria covering judging of personality, intelligence, talent, character, and charitable involvement through private interviews with judges and answers to public onstage questions, close quote. While most of the Miss Kansas winners have performed fairly traditional talent acts like ballet or tap dancing, singing, playing an instrument, twirling a baton, the most unusual talent by a Miss Kansas was performed at the 2019 Miss America pageant. The talent was a speed painting of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I thought it was pretty obvious.
I'm going to go with Edward Scissorhands. I never thought they looked similar before.
I think she was originally up for that role.
He was originally nominated to be on the Supreme Court as well.
He kept cutting his doily.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He cut her doily.
That's so exactly right.
So it's like Ruth Bader Scissorhands is what you're saying. That's what it is.
Vera Miles, the third runner-up for Miss Kansas in 1948, grew up in Pratt. Vera moved to Los Angeles 2 years after her Miss Kansas win and started work as an actress. Best known for her role as Leela Crane in Psycho, she has 45 film credits and 116 TV credits, and her career lasted until 1991. Leela Crane was the protagonist in the Hitchcock film, but the character became a villain in the 1983 film Psycho 2, directed by one of Hitchcock's former students.
Richard Franklin. Spoilers.
It's a good movie.
I never saw
Psycho
it.
Psycho 2?
The Psycho 2 was legit good. Like, legit.
So
it shouldn't be.
But who is she in the first one? What is the character?
They're the same character. She plays the same character. But what she was she was the sister of Janet Leigh.
She's the one trying to find
yes.
what happened to her.
Yes, okay.
Exactly. Well, in that film, Norman Bates has been released from prison and no longer suffers from murderous delusions about his mother. Leela protests his release, and upon learning of his reintegration into society, she and her daughter, who also becomes Norman's lover, start driving Norman insane by posing as his mother.
Yeah, you kind of don't need to see the movie now.
Yeah,
I got you. Both Leela and her daughter are killed by Norman's actual mother, a woman named Emma Spools. Not the deceased Mrs. Bates. Well, that's a twist. Okay,
now you really don't need to see the movie.
That is a real twist.
Okay. That, yeah, no, it's the ending is so good.
Give me 15 minutes and I can watch it.
That,
and
we'll, yeah, I'm about to say, spoiled. Watch it anyway. It's so yeah. good.
The film earned over $8 million on its opening weekend, second only to Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
While many of its reviews were positive, a writer for the Washington Post called it, quote, a travesty masquerading as a sequel. If the director had any respect for the source material, he might feel a little protective and avoid outrages of conceptuality as well as literally nasty as the treatment of Vera Miles' character. There's a lot going on here. Psycho 2 transforms her once sympathetic, heroic, supporting role into a hateful bit part and then kills her off with a revoltingly obscene flourish. Has movie storytelling broken down this grotesquely in 23 years?
Now we really don't need to see the movie.
Now I don't think this person saw the original Psycho. That character was heroic. Do you know how boring the first Psycho is after like Janet Leigh gets killed? Like, don't get me wrong, love the movie.
There's not a lot that happens.
No!
I've never made it through it.
Wait, you don't like the original?
No, I do.
I've never made it through it.
It's just, yeah, I like it. It's one of those things where it's like, the best part of it is the part that everybody knows, and it's no fault of the movie. It's just everything's kind of lackluster after that happens. That's a big moment and thing still.
That's the murder in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
And then, because then what happens is you have not met the sister character until after that event happens.
Right.
There are no scenes with her for the first 40 minutes of that movie.
Which explains why I have no idea who she is.
Exactly.
Because I never made it that far.
That character is literally introduced the scene after Janet Leigh's body is disposed of.
And she looks
of.
A lot like Janet Leigh, right?
Two white chicks, sure.
No, are they both blondes? Or they?
No, they were black and white.
They were in black and white. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Before color, it's hard to tell people apart.
It's hard to recognize her in the second movie because that was in color.
That's right.
Who is
it's
this?
It's not the same person.
That's her sister. That's not her sister. That chick was in black and white. All right. Speaking of Psycho 2, Bill Farmer was born in Pratt in 1952. I don't think this has anything to do with Psycho 2. Just 4 years after Vera's final appearance in town for the Miss Kansas competition. Like Vera, Bill also moved to L.A. to become an actor. Was he in Psycho 2?
Hmm? Three.
Four.
I read ahead.
The remake with Vince Vaughn.
While Bill has had some small film roles, most of his work is in voiceovers. His main role since 1987 has been as the voice of Goofy.
Yeah. Oh.
Gorsh, I'm going to dress in drag and kill you.
Oh, no, I like he's got a great little lineup here. This is awesome.
Okay, let's hear. Okay. He has also provided the voices for Pluto, which is just the bark. Horace Horsecollar. I do not know that cartoon character, but I'm intrigued.
It's kind of like a goofy, like, cow character, right?
I don't know that one.
Sure.
Either.
I think so.
Yosemite Sam, Foghorn Leghorn, and Sylvester. However, my favorite of his vocal credits is for his work in Beauty and the Beast, where he voiced the part of Gaston. I didn't know Gaston was goofy.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that what? Crazy?
That is crazy.
Wow. That's it's awesome. Like actors are versatile. He was not Gaston's He was not Gaston's speaking voice, nor was he Gaston's singing voice. Bill provided the gulp, gulp, gulp sound of Gaston swallowing eggs.
Which makes sense if he was goofy.
Why did you have to farm that out?
Can you imagine being the actor who's not able to make a gulp sound?
Whoa. Can you imagine being the person who wrote the check? Because I'm assuming he's the voice of Goofy and all these.
He's already at Disney, right? They're like, hey, come over here.
Oh, no.
He's got a busy, he's got like a Wednesday. He's got nothing to do.
He's being paid per job. It's not like a blank check every year. Here's for the Disney voices for this year. No. So someone had to write a check to this guy, call him into a sound thing. He's like, do a gulp, gulp, gulp. I do a gulp, gulp, gulp every night, and a funny thing happened away to the forum.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. It's not hard.
So what you're telling me is I should have had someone else do that part.
You should.
This guy.
Okay. We have two more shows left.
I'll just do it from the back.
I'm going home tonight.
I'll do it.
I'm putting on Beauty and the Beast, and I'm going to record the Gaston swallowing eggs.
Well, I've got to tell you, Dr. Jess did give us a handy little YouTube link.
Oh, here we go.
Well, how many eggs does Gaston eat?
5 dozen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of... He gulped 60 times?
In an effort to keep large or whatever the lyric was.
He gulped 60 times?
Every morning to help me get large.
There you go.
Yep.
And then there's 60 gulps?
No.
Okay. What?
You're thinking he can only do one egg at a time.
they stopped the song so that he could crack and eat 5 dozen eggs.
That's what I was thinking.
I've heard this and seen this a lot of times. I don't remember 60
gulps. It's the director's cut of Beauty and the Beast. They take a 5-minute break in the middle of the song. And everybody just watches.
But if you had it
around 24, just kind of goes, gorsh.
I was going to say, if you had to hire somebody to make a gulping sound and you had to pick, okay, if I had to pick a character that they're already voicing to judge who I would select, I would pick the dude who's doing Goofy.
Yeah.
Agreed. I just can't believe somebody went through that trouble.
I mean, right. Imagine if they picked the one that does Mickey.
There had to be. I just.
That sounds like Qbert. You remember Qbert?
I do remember Qbert. That's the worst video game ever, right?
They're worse ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bad.
But the best with the gulp sounds.
I just keep thinking of Cool Hand Luke. I'm imagining George Kennedy standing over there, like, rubbing Gaston's shoulders as he's having to gulp down 50 eggs. You can do this.
He's, what's that character that's with Gaston? What's that character?
LePew?
LePew.
The Fool. LePew.
Well, after about 5 dozen eggs, it's going to be LePew. Okay?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Well, how many gulps does he do then? Do you remember?
I don't know, like 3 or 4. I mean, it's just gulp, it's a quick
gulp,
break.
Gulp, 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 gulp,
gump.
Gulp,
gulp. Here's the clip.
I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large.
It's underneath totally the singing. Goofy. Yeah, that is goofy. I wonder how much he was paid for just that.
I wonder if they just yanked it from some other thing he was doing.
Telling you, by this point in Hollywood, like, they'd already had lawsuits. Like, he was compensated in some way. He receives a royalty check for doing the gulp.
I don't know. That's not enough. There are a certain number of words for royalty checks.
How many gulps?
How many gulps?
Yeah.
It's just 3 gulps. Well, look,
we're talking goofy money right now, though. Okay?
That's why they didn't do 60. They're trying to keep him under the per gulp ratio to get royalty checks.
That's right.
Just
okay.
3 gulps.
Moving on to this same concept, but laterally, there are actually an astonishing number of articles about Gaston's eating of 5 dozen eggs. Now we're going to get some Cool Hand Luke stuff here. Seemingly raw. In the film, 60 eggs provide about 4,300 calories, giving Gaston more than twice the recommended daily caloric intake in just one part of his breakfast. Also, a human stomach would burst under that volume of eggs. The average stomach can hold 32 ounces at once, but 5 dozen eggs total between 90 to 120 ounces.
Wow. So I'm good.
No one barfs like Gaston. He expews like Gaston.
So I'm good with my big gulp, is what I'm hearing.
Wait, it's 32 ounces?
No, that's 64, isn't it?
Yeah. No, the original one was 32. Yeah. Like, the new ones are, like, insane.
Was that their intention? Like, that this is how much a stomach can hold?
No, but that's good. I mean, it's good to know, though.
They were like, no, we're going to push the envelope.
Yeah.
Tell me how much a stomach can hold. Double it.
Yeah.
I know.
Put a handle on it.
Put eggs in it.
You've drank a whole 64-ounce before, right?
Not no.
I didn't explode.
I don't
think
so.
And it didn't, like, start dribbling out my mouth. Wait, like, there was room to put it.
But did, were you, like... Were you peeing in between?
Like, I mean, during the drink? No.
You took it to the bathroom. Wait, did you drink like 64 ounces in one sitting?
I'm sure. I mean, at least.
Where was this?
How many ounces is it in a 2-liter?
Oh, that's like 96, so, isn't it? Something like that. I can't remember, honestly.
I'm questioning this whole stomach size thing, 32 ounces, because where would it go? Like, fill up your throat?
So small intestines, large intestines, bladder, toilet.
Wait, I missed the math equation. Wait,
67. There we go. 67 is a 2-liter.
Okay,
are we so about twice the volume of a stomach?
Are we about to have a Cool Hand Luke soda off with George? Is that what's about to happen here?
I hope not.
I can't do it. Oh no, I'm not doing it. We're gonna watch him. We're gonna watch.
That's what Craig's saying. I can't do it. I can't.
We
watch
are George
it.
Kennedy to his Paul Newman here. Okay,
or you're Goofy to my Gaston.
We're the Goofy to your Paul Newman.
Because that's the way he wants it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the amount of time, right? I could drink a few beers,
yeah,
and it would be the same ounces.
Right.
But I believe the beers would move through before you would take down a 64-ounce soda.
Exactly.
Well, so if you drank 3 beers in an hour,
mm-hmm,
I don't know. How quickly do you drink beers?
Depends, but that is a possibility.
If you drank 3 beers in 30 seconds,
depends on the day.
That's right. It's not off the table. It's going into your stomach, right?
Yes.
And then there's still room for more beer. You wouldn't say,
I can't do this anymore. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a hole in the bottom of your stomach. It's actually over to the side a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
There's a song. Goofy sang it. There's a hole in your stomach.
I'm especially good at not urinating.
I think the trick is, like, do eggs continue to act as a fluid, or are they, like, stiff enough that they just don't flow through? You know what I mean? Because the viscosity is different.
Okay, hold on. So you got Limp Bizkit and stiff eggs.
Wait, so is it going to be easier to eat 50 raw eggs or 50, like, let's say, hard-boiled eggs?
I presume raw, because they can flow through the system.
They can just fill whatever space is there.
Yeah.
Well, like a liquid. So liquid takes the shape of whatever it's in. But probably liquid's easier. But no, in the movie...
liquid eggs are egg-shaped. The shell has nothing to do with it.
But in the movie, he's eating the shells. Gaston, he just throws them right down his gullet.
No, they're already... deshelled.
I think they were hard-boiled.
Sure? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he, like, popped them out of a carton and started juggling them in.
They really didn't have cartons back
then. There was a basket.
He popped them right out of the chicken.
He
started juggling
them. He just picked up a chicken.
And chicken and goes,
squeezed it down his gullet. Oh, God.
Gaston was a brute.
That is a prolific chicken.
And that then once the chicken stops spitting out eggs, well, then he just crams the chicken into his face.
Which came first? Doesn't matter.
Chicken or the biscuit.
Hey, speaking of Psycho 2, have fun in Pratt. Throw on a Speedo and strut your stuff in a beauty pageant. Ignore the haunting voices of any deceased relatives who are urging you to kill. Instead, work on your Goofy Gorsh and Gaston Gulps and try not to be Pratts. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah. Too late on the Pratts.
Try not to be Pratts.
Yeah.
Always good advice.
Getting a lot done not.
Wait. Donut?
No. Done. Oh, not.
Okay.
Fair question.
And there's
getting a lot done. Nut.
And there's no donut. And there's no comma, so I'm reading it correctly.
Time to not make the donuts.
There you go.
By Norma Rick. After a hectic week, I was looking very forward to getting a lot done on Friday. The first thing on our agenda, don't know who our is, but it's our agenda, is always to get the animals fed for the day. As we were taking grain to the goats, I heard a new moo. Or I'm sorry, mew. I heard a new mew and looked down at a pathetic little waif of a kitten. We have probably a dozen half-wild cats who hang around our place. Still don't know who R is. Don't know what the place is.
It's the Royal R.
Because they know I leave food out for them at all times. I am of the crowd who believes that if you want cats to catch mice, They need to be well fed so they have the health and energy to hunt.
That is the stupidest statement ever.
They're going to hunt better if they're hungry.
Yes.
Because they eat mice.
You can't just expect a waif of a kitten to be an expert mouser. It needs to be beyond waif.
Oh, it makes me wonder, though, do cats really eat mice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I know they kill a mouse.
Hungry. Yeah, if they're hungry.
But you ever
enough?
Seen a cat eat a mouse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've seen it happen?
My cat will eat a mouse. They will tear it apart.
I told you our Disney story. Like when we were at Disney with the rabbit. Oh, no, the rabbit.
No.
So we had this really, really old, old cat. She was like 18 or 19.
You took her cat to Disney World?
No. Which had we, maybe
she followed us.
Turned out better.
Okay.
So we let our neighbor watch the cat as a loose term, because it was an outdoor cat anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she decided we were never coming back. I mean, there was plenty of food there, but he showed up one evening to feed her, and I get this picture of half a rabbit on my garage floor with like it's the head, the forelegs, and then entrails.
Everything else is
not much. And the cat, this old ass cat that could barely move, had killed a rabbit and drug it back into the garage to eat it.
Wow. And how long were you gone at that point?
4 days, maybe.
So 4 days, and your cat was just kind of like, nah, done.
Yeah.
They're clearly done with me.
Yeah,
oh, look, a rabbit.
I'm saving this other half for later.
But there was other food.
Garage is mine now.
Yeah. There was other food.
Yeah, so it's that
was
the love of the hunt, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's also commentary towards the food you're buying that cat.
And what's grain-free? Yeah. Grain-free food.
Yeah.
She got it.
That theory, this is back to the theory that you want to well feed your cats in order for them to hunt. That theory has served us well because we never see a trace of a mouse, even though we have large open containers full of grain. I cringe when I buy $40 worth of cat food a month for them. But Mark, oh, now we know who us is. But Mark assures me they are the only critters on the place that earn their own way. You're buying them food.
No, so, but they're providing at least $40 a week in services.
I'm not with Mark.
Pest control.
So all of the employees, her included, are just shite,
yep.
Is what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
The only one around here that earns their keep are those cats.
Oh, yeah. I'm not with Mark on this one. But unfortunately, they reproduce and think this is a good place to raise their families. We have tried to trap them so we could have the females fixed, but they have eluded our capture! Exclamation point. I don't know where this little thing came from, but it was obvious he was motherless and needed... Okay, we're back to the waif of a kid. Okay. Not Mark. Not Mark.
Brilliant writing.
But it was obvious he was motherless. Maybe it is Mark. Wait a second. And needed help. So I took him in the house, cleaned him up, and got him some food.
That's definitely Mark.
It's Mark. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No one's any other keeper on here.
Mark is definitely motherless.
Yes.
So she brought him inside and cleaned him up.
And I got him some food, which he attacked with a vengeance. I set him down on a throw rug under my kitchen sink as I went to the microwave to warm him some milk. I turned around, and he had vanished in thin air. Nowhere! That was in all caps. To be found. He could barely walk. This could not have happened.
Next week on Ghost Kitten.
Waif of a ghost kitten. Yeah. I looked everywhere, every room, under every piece of furniture. I finally got down on all four and looked under the cabinet where he'd been laying. And to my horror,
whoa, stop the story. I don't want to hear about the cat that got chewed up by the
disposal. I saw the corpse of Mark.
slowly being devoured by a waif of the kitten.
Who no longer wants to hunt mice.
And to my horror, saw the 3x8 opening under the cabinet where a furnace vent had once been. It was not at all visible, and I had forgotten about it, but it was the perfect size for a tiny kitten to walk into and hide somewhere underneath the 14-foot span of a cabinet. I got a flashlight and saw nothing except the wide dark yonder.
Okay.
No, wait, no, please let me finish this. I need to know what happened to this. Hold on to that, George. I need to know what happened to this kitten. Don't get me wrong.
You mean it got hungry again or woke up and came out?
Or it fell into the furnace and was burned alive. Or maybe it found Mark's dead body. I don't know. This can go anywhere. There's so many directions. It's just like Psycho 2. How am I going to get this kitten out from under? Okay. I have to ask what this word is. H-E-R-E-F-T. Hereft?
Hereft.
Hereft?
Yeah.
That's not a real word.
That's I'm with George on this one, and he's a lawyer.
Hereft?
He sees so all kinds of
words. So you're not from the group of being in line with hereft being a word?
I don't know what hereft is. Tell me what a hereft is, and maybe I'll get on board.
Pending danger.
Is it?
Really? Okay. You know what? I don't know. I'm just going to start over.
A morning gif is one of those typical typos that comes across maybe as well.
I know.
Where it's here is supposed to be an exclamation mark.
Yeah, maybe so. And maybe then, so. All right. I'm going to treat it like that. How am I going to get this kitten out from under here? I pulled the drawers out of one end, looked as far as I could. No kitten. I enticed with warm milk. Enticed what? There was no kitten. I paced the floor. I prayed. I pleaded. No kitten. He wasn't very old. Most kittens aren't particularly old. What if he never found his way out and died under therft?
Damn.
Okay, it wasn't a typo.
What?
She just used the word therft.
I'm thinking it's putting an FT for an exclamation
point. No,
to therft.
She's living on a whole other level than us, okay? This is a whole new thing. Okay.
Are sorry. F's and S's together? Like, was it written with a colonial typewriter?
It's old English, and it didn't make sense.
Okay.
The F's supposed to be an S.
From under the
from hearst. From hearest and therest.
Okay, all right, we're close to the end here.
From hence to thence.
Yeah, we're almost therft. Okay.
Soofs to nusts.
I started envisioning us having to remove the kitchen cabinets from the wall in order to get him. Divorce papers flashed in front of my eyes. Just as I was beginning to really panic. Man, Mark has a low tolerance.
Yeah. He's a hair trigger.
I know.
There's thousands of holes in this house. Each of them has divorce papers stuffed into it.
From herf to therf in 30 seconds.
Just as I was beginning to really panic, I hear that tiny mew, which got me in this pickle in the first place. Turned around and there he was. I scooped him up and promptly took him and the milk outside and put him in a cage under the tree.
Is that in there or did you make that up?
No, that's it. That's the sentence. And I put him in a cage under the tree where I will take care of him and try to find him a good home. Yeah, he's got a home in that cage.
Love him and whatever. What is that whole thing from Bugs Bunny?
Love him and pet him and call him George.
So much for getting a lot done! Exclamation point.
Not!
We don't even know what you were doing.
Or where the hell she was.
Or who Mark is.
Well, you're not going to get anything done if you assume that everything in your house is going through a black hole vent in the floor.
To the wide, dark yonder?
The wide, dark yonder. I sometimes wish I was someone who didn't care about animals like I do, because it would be easier. But I guess there are worse vices I could have. And that was the article. So I'm assuming now that getting a lot done, not there should have been a comma. I think that this ended up being an article about how she was doing something. We never found out what and got interrupted by cat escapades.
She'd kind of an eventful day, though. I mean, I don't know what you'd normally be doing, but this is like, okay, we went through this whole journey with her.
No,
I found a cat. I lost a cat. I found a cat. Markham has killed me. No, cat's in a cage.
She's on drugs. A period of 3 minutes felt like nine hours to her.
No, she didn't have to be on drugs. This was 3 minutes. Found a cat, brought him inside. Food, milk. Where'd it go? Is it under there? Oh, Mew, there it is. That's... There you go.
I love how you've taken the cute kitten sound and just made it a very matter-of-fact mew.
It's mew.
We've just transitioned to the Greek letter. We're not even... That's no it. Excitement left. Mew.
Mew. All right, so I'm sorry I interrupted your idea for improv, George, because I thought there might have been an interesting end of the story. That was my mistake.
It was about the wide, dark yonder.
Okay. Hey. Let's go to the wide dark yonder, George.
We cut to the wide dark yonder.
Hello.
Cut to later that night. Mark comes home. Norma.
Yes.
Norma.
Yes.
There's a cat in a cage under the tree again.
Yes.
Where did this cat come from?
Well, from underneath the cabinets.
The wide dark yonder?
Yes. You know that's where they all come from.
How do they get there? You keep finding cats from the wide dark yonder.
It's like magical. I keep pointing it out to you.
Hold on. Let me get the door.
Mark! Mark, you son of a bitch. You open this door right now.
Okay. Jerry?
Yeah, that's right. Jerry from the farm next door. I'm pissed as hell, Mark.
What's going on?
Well, hey, Jerry. Your wide dark yonder has gone. It's encroached. It's gotten larger. It's eaten up some of my corn.
Oh, okay. All right, look.
You need to keep that wide dark yonder inside your cellar there, Mark.
Look, it's just this thing under our sink. No. We don't know where it goes.
You got to understand.
It's dark.
My crop is my livelihood, okay? I can't have it swallowed up into a wide dark yonder. Do something. Get your... Aren't you a man, Mark?
I'm a man?
Then get your wide dark yonder under control before it takes another row of my corn.
Hold on. Let me get this other door.
Hello?
Oh!
Hi, I'm Terry. I was called to come and do some contract work for a wide dark yonder.
Oh, thank God. You're just in time. Norma, thank you for calling Terry.
Oh, yeah. So I want to break out that other wall and expand the wide dark yonder.
Double your wide dark yonder.
At least.
Wait,
at
wider, least. Darker, yonderer?
Well, I'm fine with the darker part, but wider for sure.
You obviously saw my truck outside.
I did. Terry, listen, the yonder part, as I understand it, means far away. So if you can make it yonderer, perhaps into our neighbors.
Actually, Terry makes your yonder deeper. That's my specialty.
I'm fine with that, too. I mean, I think in three dimensions.
Now, hold on. So far, all we've been losing into our wide dark yonder is kittens and apparently my neighbor's corn crop. I'm a little concerned about having wider and darker and yonderer. What could fall in there?
Mark!
Oh, hold on. I've got another door.
Son of a bitch!
Jerry!
Is that a wider, darker, yonderer truck that I see in your driveway?
This is Terry. Yes, Terry's here to help us with our problem.
Do you need a wider, darker, yonder?
Are you expanding your wide, dark, yonder?
Well,
just a bit.
Just a bit wider, bit darker.
Look. If you're talking about confining your wider, darker yonder between four walls so it stops encroaching onto my prop, I'm all for that.
You know what,
that.
Jerry? I'm tired of you coming over here and putting your nose in our business.
Whoa. Yeah, don't poke me in the
Go
head.
Ahead.
No, the wide, dark yonder.
He'll be all right. There's lots of cats in there. He's going to be fine.
Hold on. Is that a mew?
No, it was a few less. I landed on some kittens.
How did Bill Clinton fall down the hole?
That wasn't a Bill Clinton impression. It was an echo. Yeah, I was way down.
Way down Monica's wide dark yonder.
Was by the time I got there.
It didn't used to be
wide darker yonder.
I would assume.
Coach Sees Changes in Generations of Athletes by Jeff Guy. Longtime Wellington High School track and cross-country coach Charles Wallace has the affections of the kids he have coached. He wears a cap they gave him with the words, Coach Wallace, on the front. With around 70 Wellington High School kids signed up for track.
I'm just imagining, like, every day the kids are giving him a new hat.
It says Coach Wallace. Yes. With around 70 Wellington High School kids signed up for track this past season, it was one of the biggest groups of kids he'd seen out for the sport in some time. Wallace, 74, tends to not carry a cell phone with him. He ignores them when he can.
When we get off the bus, the cell phones go away, he said. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. We never had to deal with those things before.
He's 74. Back in my day.
We never had to deal with those things before.
Never did. We were fine. You need to talk to somebody, you yelled. If they were too far away, you walked to where they were, then you yelled.
I didn't even have a name.
For the first 12 years of my life, I was, hey, you.
Not until I got this hat.
Yeah.
Now I'm Coach Wallace.
Exactly. My hat used to say, you.
Coach, it's a funny first name.
Oh, let's see. Cell phones are just one of the many changes Wallace has had to get used to in his 53 years of coaching, all of it at Wellington High School. He grew up in Broomall, a small Pennsylvania town west of Philadelphia. After high school, he joined a friend in going to Kansas and attending Ottawa University, where there was a smaller population of students, something he preferred. After graduating from Ottawa in 1966, Wallace had the opportunity to attend graduate school at the University of Tennessee and work as a graduate assistant. But he also had a teaching and coaching opportunity awaiting him at Wellington High School.
I had no money, no job, no transportation, Wallace said.
We didn't need it. We didn't need anything back then. We didn't have to deal with transportation. You never before.
You never needed money before. You want to go somewhere? You just walked.
Yes.
You wanted to buy something? You just took it.
We bartered. You want apples? I got oranges.
When this job became available, it was a no-brainer.
Married in 1971 and becoming a father 3 years later, coaching three sports a year had become too much of a grind, so he let go of wrestling and continued to coach track and cross country.
I can relate to those kids probably more so than others, he said.
Well, didn't have cars in his day. I mean, that makes sense. Exactly.
We walked everywhere.
The thing Wallace likes about cross country is every
kid. I can relate to those kids better
than the rest of the kids.
Like, yeah, like these kids are like, rolling around on the ground. Just let go of them.
Cross country is just like jogging.
That'll solve all your problems right there.
Just let go. Y'all just separate. Quit fighting.
Yeah, see them kids running around? That's what I had to do. You want to talk to somebody.
And if they want to come up and grab you, you run faster.
Yeah. You're running a circle. That part I don't understand. You just end up where you were.
The thing Wallace likes about cross country is every kid gets to participate.
If we have 50 kids out for cross country, 50 kids get to run. And there's not a lot of sports where you can say that. There's no timeouts once the race starts. They've got to solve their problems while the competition is going on. They've got to do the best they can under the circumstances.
During his teaching career, Wallace taught such social science classes as American history, psychology.
I'd love to hear his American history or psychology.
Because we're not taking the Coach Wallace hat off, no. At any point, figuratively or literally.
World history and advanced placement history. He received his master's degree from Emporia State University in 1974.
In
advanced placement history.
In yelling at people when they weren't close to you.
You're always talking about before times, Coach. You should really teach a history class.
It's called advanced placement back in my day.
It's called before. Before history.
Before you.
After 35 years of
teaching.
Welcome
to Wallace's history, as I had to call it, the good days.
After 35 years of teaching, he retired from teaching in 2001.
That's enough time to spend in a classroom, he said.
You're going to keep going. That's great.
While the classroom has changed, coaching has changed too, he said. In the 1970s, coaches could announce the first day of practice for cross country during the spring, and in August, 30 kids would show up. Nowadays, with computers and other activities, more things are competing for students' time. One thing that has not changed is the relationship coaches develop with the kids they coach.
You see them become successful, not necessarily in life, but in their careers. You got a good job, but you're a loser, Wallace said. They become responsible people. They added to the community.
This past year, Wallace coached a cross-country athlete whose grandfather he coached in the 70s.
Whose grandfather he coached?
He coached this kid's grandfather.
When you're around young people, it's got to rub off a little bit, she said.
No.
Yeah. We cut to the unemployment office. The newly retired Coach Wallace is bored. He wants to find a job to help keep himself busy in his years of retirement, and he is meeting with an agent there at the office. So, Mr. Wallace, I hope you had time. Coach.
Coach is on the hat.
Oh, I see that. Yes, okay. I assume because you're retired that. Well, never mind.
Once a coach, always a coach, but go ahead.
That's well put there. Well, Coach Wallace, I hope you had time before you came in today. It really speeds things along. I'm having trouble finding where you filled out the online form.
Jimmy Peters. Are you still running like you ran in high school?
Coach, I'm flattered you remember me, but
remember the good old days when you used to run around the track because I told you to?
Well, I remember PE, yes.
You remember how much I used computers back then?
I don't recall any computers.
Still not. I haven't gone online to do a form. I haven't gone online to change my address. Okay. I haven't gone online to set up electronic mail.
Okay, coach, that's fine. It saves us some time if you can do that, but we can just spend a little bit extra time here today in the office doing that. Now, of course, not using computers does limit the jobs available to you.
It doesn't limit the jobs I'd be willing to take. I want no job with computers.
Okay, well then maybe this is a good place to start there, Mr. Coach Wallace.
Come on, Jimmy Peters.
Sorry, you're right. Old habits, they'll come back. Okay, so well then you tell me, Coach, what jobs would you like to take on? What sorts of employment would you like?
Well, you know, I coached for 56 years. You remember that time you were running and you said, Coach, I need a timeout. And I said, there's no timeouts once it starts.
Yeah,
what'd you do, Jimmy?
Well, the reason, if I recall correctly, in terms of the incident, I had asthma.
Yeah.
And you would not let me get my inhaler.
I told you, just tough it out and run through it.
Yes, and I ran until I passed out.
Yep.
And then I had to spend the rest of the day at the emergency room.
You didn't win that race, Jimmy.
Nope, I was unconscious.
You didn't win that race, but what'd you do next time?
Well, my parents had to take me out of PE class because my lungs
So it's not a good example.
It's bad example. I still have trouble to this day.
Do you remember Charles, though? Charles Turnage?
Oh.
He was a really good runner.
Well, he was.
Yeah, he never had to quit like you did.
No, but he did eventually die of dehydration.
Another bad example.
Yes.
Let me just say this, Jimmy Peters. I'm here. I'm open to anything that uses my skill set.
Okay.
And just like you relied on me to take you to the hospital that day, I rely on you to help me out, find a new job and computers and whatnot.
Okay, well, so what I'm hearing is management. Well, it just so happens I do have something across my desk here. It is they need a manager, a floor manager for Staples, the home supply office.
Manage the floor.
Well,
got it.
We cut to the Staples where Coach Wallace is now the manager.
Walk, don't run. Walk, don't run.
Hi.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I was hoping somebody could help me with the iPads over here. There's one I'm interested in, but
iPads.
Yeah, I was trying to sort of make a choice. I can't tell really that there's not much on the card. What's the difference between these two models?
These things here?
Yep.
Looks like one of them's bigger than the other.
Okay, that is apparent.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out if like one was more powerful instead of just being bigger. Okay.
Probably the one that costs more.
Okay. Charles, that's what's on your... Oh.
Coach?
Yep. Is this Charles on your name?
It does, okay. But you got to look at the hat.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Coach. Coach, yeah.
Coach,
okay.
Wallace.
Yes, well, congratulations.
Tyler Reynolds? That's you, isn't it, Tyler? Tyler Reynolds.
Yeah. That's me, Coach.
How's your job going?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's been better. I mean, I had
you successful in your career?
Well,
how about your life?
You know, honestly, Coach, you know, I was working at an accounting firm. I lost my job. My wife's divorcing me, and now I'm a manager at a Burger King while I'm waiting for some other job opportunities. So, I mean, I feel like I've kind of hit a rough patch.
Well, Tyler Reynolds, it does sound like a rough patch. Do you remember in 1994? When we were at the conference championship, and you were trying to throw the discus. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
You couldn't throw it very far.
I know.
I remember telling you.
I kept telling you I didn't want to do discus, but you wouldn't let me do anything else.
I said, Tyler Reynolds, this is not a frisbee. It's a discus. Throw it as far as you can. You won't win. Don't give up. Just throw it as far as you can.
You did say that, and I threw it backwards. Yep. And hit the referee behind me.
That was
and
not a good example.
Nope, I got disqualified.
Not a good example at all. All right.
Cut to the Burger King. Coach Wallace has taken over Tyler's old job in an effort for Tyler to move on to something bigger and greater. So now Coach Wallace is the manager of the Burger King.
Walk. Don't you run, kids. Just walk. There's plenty of hamburgers for everybody.
Hi, excuse me.
Yes.
I was wondering if I could get a fish sandwich.
A fish sandwich?
A BK Big Fish sandwich.
We're a burger restaurant. I can see what we got in the back. Is that Donovan Smith? Donovan Smith. I coached your grandfather in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
Now coach. Yes, Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I taught you?
I do.
Yeah. It was 1987.
It was your last year with the wrestling team.
It was. But you insisted on wrestling. Do you remember what I said to you the last time we talked?
What was it again?
Don't let go. Just hold on. That kid is bigger than you. He's stronger than you. You're in the wrong weight class. Don't let go.
That's right. And I cracked my teeth. All six in the front just fell out. And those were the only ones I had.
Is that why you need a fish sandwich?
I have to. They're wet enough for me to swallow.
Let me tell you something, Donovan Smith. I'm going to go get you a fish sandwich.
Coach, if you put it in my hand, I swear to God, I won't let go.
I'm starting to believe in Coach Wallace.
Whatever.
I was like, man.
Once a coach, always a coach.
He's an inspiration.
So, maybe that's a bad example.
Yeah. He's good with words, not with practice.
Got a good memory.
How did he become a lifeguard?
Oh, no run.
I thought he was the track and field guy.
You got to save your energy.
He was the
Don't run until the whistle blows.
Yeah, he was a terrible track and field coach. Walk. I know you're doing well in your career.
Bad example.
How's your life?
Isn't that what he said?
Yes. The next time I run into somebody I haven't seen in years, I'm going to make sure that within the first three sentences, I'm going to ask, how's your life? Batman flies from one job to another by Gail Rose. For 30 years, Aaron Batman has been providing services for farmers as part of his job at the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
You sure it's not Batman?
Nope, it's Batman. His last name is Batman. Starting in Pratt 30 years ago, Batman moved around the state from Pratt to Troy to Ashland to Ulysses and finally back to Pratt in 2001, where he has served ever since. On May 31st, Batman retired from NRCS with a celebration at the Pratt office where co-workers, clients, family, and friends stopped by the office to wish him well as he concludes one part of his life and starts another.
And what does he do? He's a conservationist?
Crop duster.
He services farmers.
He what was farmers?
Services them. Batman,
let go.
Here we go. Batman was supervisor for employees and providing technical programs in a 4-county area that included Pratt, Kiowa, Edwards, and Stafford counties. His work at NRCS was not exactly what he was looking for. He was an agronomy major with a business minor at Fort Hays State University and was looking for anything in the agriculture sector.
What I really want to do is avenge my parents.
In 1985. A landmark farm bill was passed that is still impacting farmers today.
Oh.
One of the impacts of the bill was certain areas of agriculture were hiring. In 1987, Batman graduated from FHSU and got a job in the Pratt NRCS office as a soil conservationist, a job he retained when he moved to Troy. He became a district conservationist and worked in Ashland and Ulysses. He then moved to Pratt in 2001 and 2008 and took a supervisory position that he retained until he retired on May 31.
This is like an alternate universe of what happened to Batman if his parents had not died.
Well, his name wasn't Batman. That was his alter ego. He was Bruce Wayne.
Nope, not in this alternate universe.
In this alternate universe, he still went by Batman. He went under a pseudonym when he became a plumber. Batman Plumbing. Yeah, he's just hopping from job to job. Farmers had to fill out applications for services. They had to be completed on time for the farmers to get their advantages of the programs. And making sure that all paperwork was done on time was challenging, Batman said, because that's a phrase that Batman says.
All right, cut to his office.
Can I help you with your forms? I know sometimes they're challenging.
Yes, it says here on line 35 I have to claim every pound of grain that goes off the siphoning on Tuesdays, and I just don't understand why that is.
We have to keep good records. If you don't keep good records, the world falls apart.
But my grain scale's broke.
You need to keep that up. You need to repair it.
Oh, I don't,
or you'll have grain everywhere.
But I don't know what I'll do. If only somebody would come and help me at my farm and rescue my grain scale.
Cut to Batman at home. Honey, I feel like I have a greater calling out there other than a desk job.
I really do prefer you to call me Alfred.
I'm sorry, Alfred. It's just that you're the closest person to me.
I know. Honey's just weird, though.
Understood. I'll make a note of it.
Thank you.
So I feel like, I mean, I'm good at my job. I help farmers. I tell them about their grain bins. I feel like there's more out there for a man named Batman.
Well, there's...
I'm Batman.
There's not. You're in the middle of nowhere, really, if listen, we want to talk about it from all right, fine. Go ahead.
Listen, honey. I feel like I just had too positive a backstory. Like I grew up one of three children with a happy home. Mom and dad always did things for me that were nice.
In the center of the Midwest, we're not even near like a big city. Like,
right.
Like there's no grungy underbelly.
There's not enough crime.
There's not. I mean, you got to move if this is going to work.
Suddenly, there's a knock on the door.
Hold on. Let me get the door, honey.
That's my job. And sorry. It's Alfred.
Go ahead, Alfred.
Hi, can I help you?
Yes, honey. I'm sorry, Alfred. Alfred.
I've got that tag on again. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, is there a Batman here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yes.
I'm Batman.
I was going to ask if I could say who it was, but... Batman.
Well, you go ahead. No, introduce me.
No, it's too late.
No, introduce me. No, but don't call me Aaron, because that's kind of a girl's name.
Okay, if it's all right, I've got some...
Like honey.
I've got very bad news that I'm unfortunately here to deliver. I'm with the county police department. Mr. Batman.
I'm happy to help. What do you need?
Well, I understand that you deal in grain bins, grain silos?
Yes, mostly forms.
Forms. Okay. Well, I'm afraid to tell you, son, that your parents up the road.
Yes.
They fell.
Did they die?
They fell into a grain bin, and they
are they dead?
They sunk into the grain. They suffocated. They could get no air. I'm afraid the grain bins, which you spend all day creating forms and helping people
with. No.
I'm sorry. Do you need a moment?
Sorry. This is tragic for me. Oh, hold on. Let me open the other door.
Oh, here, I'll
do it. Alfred, will you get that one? I'm over here. I'm trying to, I'm dealing with a lot.
Yes, honey.
Oh, no, there you are. I followed you down here. Did you put a deep dark yonder in front of a grain silo yesterday?
What? Well, I mean,
how deep? How dark?
It's...
How yonder?
It's wider. It's deep. It's darker. It's yonderer. We just had to have some place to put it. Ever since that other farm down the road, the one with all the cats, ever since they collapsed into the yonder, we had to put
not
it somewhere.
Mike. Wait.
Yeah, Mike.
Oh,
cats and families and grain have been getting sucked into that deep dark yonder.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Norma and Mike Rickey?
Yes. Oh, it's so tragic. If only there was somebody with a unique set of skills in this rural area.
I have a form for that.
And a tragic enough backstory.
I do have a deep dark yonder signal on top of my van. Unfortunately, nobody can see it.
Alfred.
Yes, honey.
May I speak with you for just a moment out back?
Yeah, of course.
This is our chance.
Our?
Well, mine, mostly. But okay. You would be in a supportive role.
Okay, because I'm not going in a grain bin.
No, I'll go in the grain bin.
Good.
I must retrieve my parents' bodies.
Can't you just grind it on down through the bottom?
That's barbaric. Of course I can do that.
All right, that would be my recommendation, but we don't even want to get hurt.
Well, I think they're dead.
To the Batmobile! And by that, I mean your Elantra.
Yes.
Paint yourself into a corner there, honey.
Bad example.
So here's the end of that article. This is the cake that he had at his retirement party. The cake featured Batman dressed in red and blue and wearing a black cape while pushing a souped-up lawnmower. It was also the famous Batman logo along with the KU Jayhawk.
The message on the cake, did you see that? Enjoy your retirement. No reports, mowing. No deadlines, no meetings, mowing. Mowing. KU basketball. That's people in the room who are like, I don't know this guy at all.
Well, he doesn't have to do any more reports. He's going to mow his lawn.
Was that even his passion? What if he hates mowing the lawn?
Well, it's all you got now, Batman.
Well, I don't think I'm going to cut all of that. So, progress.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news.
Keith has just tolerated another episode of Small Town News, a production of Small Town News LLC.
Today's episode of Small Town News was inspired by the Pratt Tribune of Pratt, Kansas, and stories written by Fran Brownell and Jennifer Stoltz.
Ricky.
Steve. Your voice somehow did a circle.
Fran Brownell and Jennifer Stoltz, Norma Rickey, Steve Gilliland, Jeff Guy, Gail Rose, and an unnamed staffer.
Episodes are performed and produced by Keith Boyd, George Oliver, Neil Oliver, and Craig Ramey.
Research by Dr. Jessica Saxon.
Music performed by George Oliver.
This episode was recorded in the historic Clark's Drugstore building in beautiful downtown New Bern, North Carolina.
Small Town News is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, Facebook Podcasts, and your grandmother's gramophone. Like what you hear? Leave us a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram for behind-the-scenes photos, exclusive updates, and opportunities to share your favorite Small Town News.
Thanks for joining us.
And remember, the wide, dark yonder.
No. How would Coach Wallace wrap this up?
Yeah. If you ever feel like you're not as fast as the other kids, or can't hold on as tightly as the other kids, or just aren't as good in your career or life as the other kids, just don't forget, there are no timeouts once the whistle blows.
Wait, is that what the whistle blow means?
No, once you start, you can't quit. Yeah, you gotta go.
But when they call a timeout, don't they blow a whistle?
There are no timeouts.
There are no timeouts when they blow timeout.
Wait, why are they blowing the whistle?
To start.
Give me that hat.
To start the beginning.
Give me that hat.
No, it's all I have. Bad example. Bad example.
Did you find a picture of Coach Wallace?
Oh!
He actually looks like a very, very nice old man.
I bet. If he's anything like George portrays him, I'm kind of down with the guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with this.
Oh. I was hoping we could see the hat, but we can't see the hat.
Is this class of 2019, so he's maybe still around?
Yeah, I don't know. 90.
Bad example.
I was going to say, an obituary did not pop up.
Oh, good.
Oh, this is the article.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the picture from the article?
From the Topeka Capital Journal.
Oh, so in searching for a picture, you found the exact article that we just read.
Jeff Guy Wellington?
Yep.
That's it.
Walk.
Don't read.